It's a breezy afternoon. We take a live look at Raleigh right now. Over here at downtown, you can see the flags really whipping there at the legislative building. I'll show you what the winds will be like for the rest of the afternoon.
And you're looking at a live picture from RDU, where delays and cancellations decorate the big board. We'll explain what's causing the problem.
Plus, the multi-million dollar impact of the Chinese Lantern Festival, despite an abrupt end due to storm damage.
And we have this live look also at the Whirly Gig Park in Wilson. This view tells the story about our weather conditions right now. It is windy. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Our wind advisory just expired, but there is still the potential for downed tree limbs and power lines. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRO Severe Weather Center with a look at our wind speeds for the rest of the day. It looks pretty out there, though.
It does. Boy, that wind is coming out of the northwest. It's bringing dry air in, and that is clearing out the clouds and making for some beautiful color in the sky there, that gorgeous blue color. But I'll tell you what, we're looking right here down Jones Street in front of the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences. That wind is really whipping around, and you can see the flags moving pretty quickly in the wind. Let's talk about our wind speeds as you're headed out the door right now. On the left in blue is our steady wind, that wind coming out of the northwest at 10 miles per hour in Southern Pines, but 19 in Fayetteville, 21 in Rocky Mount, and 13 in Goldsboro. And then the box on the right in white is the wind gusts. And so we're gusting to 30 in Fayetteville, 23 in Clinton, 28 in Durham, 21 in South Hill, 38 in Rocky Mount. Now, when we see those gusts climbing up above 35 miles per hour, that's a place where we'll be watching closely to see if we have any isolated power outages. Really, anything below 30 miles per hour, it's a little less likely that we would see power outages. And as we get through the afternoon, we'll see those wind gusts really dying down pretty quickly. As a matter of fact, between now and 4 o'clock, we're going to go from a wind steady at about 20 to wind steady at about 14 or 15, and our gusts will drop off to around 20 miles per hour. But we still have some of those gusts out there right now at 30, 38 miles per hour, at least over in Rocky Mount. This is a look at our maximum wind gusts that we've seen since midnight. And of course, we really started to see the wind picking up early this morning around 3 or 4 a.m. At about 4:30 a.m., we were gusting to 46 in Fayetteville. But fortunately, we've not heard of any damage or any trees down in Fayetteville. That's where the wind has been strongest so far today. We've had gusts to 38 in Goldsboro and in Rocky Mount, 37 in Roxboro, and 33 around the Triangle area. Hour by hour for the rest of the day, that cool air continues to move on in pretty quickly with those strong winds. So temperatures will be dropping into the 50s again. We'll be in the 40s overnight tonight. We have some cooler temperatures ahead, but it looks like a nice dry Valentine's Day. We'll take a close look at that coming up.
Right now, you're looking live at RDU International Airport. There have been 28 flights canceled so far today, and hundreds more people who want to travel are facing delays as well. WRO's Eric Miller has been tracking this for us all morning long, and Eric, as we might guess, most of the flights affected here are coming in or out of the Northeast.
Yeah, absolutely, Jeff. A very busy morning as we take a look at the flight information board here at RDU, seeing a lot of orange, those cancellations, those delays popping up all over the place there. Those especially impacting people flying to or from New York, New Jersey, Philly, and Boston. Now, of course, those areas have been facing a major winter storm over the course of this morning. Multiple inches of snow coming down in that area. Just in the last 10 minutes, I got off the phone with a spokesperson for American Airlines who confirmed that the issues that they're seeing are tied to that winter weather, that having a major impact on their operations. We've been touching base with Delta as well. They're the other airline seeing the most cancellations and delays here at RDU. We're waiting to hear back, but again, many of the same destinations being impacted that we're seeing with American. Now, of course, you just heard Elizabeth talking about all of those gusts, that wind that we're seeing right here in the Triangle. We checked in with RDU. They tell us operations here are normal, moving ahead without any impacts, despite that wind there. So if you are traveling today, what should you be doing? You'll want to pay a close eye to those boards, to those delays, those cancellations. Because, Jeff, we know how fast that can change on a day like this. Back to you.
Certainly. Check before you go. Eric Miller, live at RDU for us. Thanks.
And event happening right now in the WREL Live Center. The CDC is expected to announce that they're easing COVID isolation guidance this spring. They're advising people that they no longer need to isolate once they have been fever-free for 24 hours and their symptoms are improving. This information is coming from the Washington Post. Since 2021, we all know the rules were to isolate for 5 days if you tested positive, and then you were told to continue to mask. Experts agree that easing this isolation time frame will not significantly increase transmission, but still we should note tens of thousands of people are hospitalized with COVID and hundreds of people die from the virus every week. Michelle, thanks. Wake County health officials are encouraging people at risk for Mpox to get vaccinated and help prevent the spread. The reminder comes on the heels of 3 new cases in Wake County within the last 6 weeks. Getting the free vaccine now can help protect you through spring and summer when large events and festivals tend to take place. To schedule your appointment, go to WREL.com to find dates and locations. Parents and doctors are scrambling to treat children with asthma after one of the most popular medications was taken off the market. GSK took Flovent off the shelves January 1st and replaced it with an identical generic version. The problem here is that some insurance companies do not cover the generic version. In some cases, insurance companies require patients to show that they've tried preferred medications and failed before they can grant approval for one that's not listed.
New this noon, statistics on gun-related incidents in Durham County. The sheriff's office there released this information this morning, and WRL's Ken Smith is here to explain the data by the numbers. Ken?
You know, Jeff, these gun statistics compare 2022 to last year, and we have data from the first part of this year. So let's get right to the numbers. In 2022, deputies seized 243 firearms. Last year, that number jumped to 262 weapons taken off the street. In terms of firearms reported stolen in 2022, that number was 31. Not a big difference last year, 34 firearms reported stolen. Now, the total number of firearms recovered or found stayed relatively the same. The Durham County Sheriff's Office says a lot of the success of getting guns off the streets are buyback programs like this one. Since 2022, deputies were able to get approximately 650 guns off the streets. The most recent gun buyback happened in November when 147 weapons were voluntarily turned into the Sheriff's Office. Now, Sheriff Clarence Burkhead did say, though, firearms being stolen from unlocked vehicles remain a problem. He's encouraging people to secure their legal firearms at home and in their cars. You can read the full report about the Durham County gun stats on WREL.com.
Good information on locking them up. Ken, thanks. For the second time in as many days, a man is charged with carrying a gun onto NC State's campus. Police charged 38-year-old Marvin Spruill with misdemeanor bringing a gun on educational property and misdemeanor carrying a concealed gun. The arrest warrant says Spruill had a 9mm gun outside of a student housing area on Greek Village Drive. Yesterday, a 19-year-old student appeared in court on similar charges after police found a loaded AR-15 in his car on campus.
Two men are being detained by authorities after a mid-air brawl on a flight from Oakland to Hawaii. This incident occurred about an hour into the flight. Passengers and crew members tried to calm the two men by physically getting between them. It's unclear what started the fight or if any charges have been filed against either of the men. We have dramatic video of the moment a private jet crashed onto a Florida highway, killing at least 2 people. This happened last Friday. The jet carrying 5 people on board crashed with a vehicle on the ground, sparking a fire. At least 2 people were killed in this incident, but it's unclear if they were in the car or the plane. Federal investigators say the jet was on its way from Ohio to Naples when the pilot reported that both engines failed moments before the crash. And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, more jobs coming to North Carolina. Siemens Energy says they plan to add about 500 more jobs. They have long operated in our state with operations in Mecklenburg and Wake counties, and we're told the majority of the jobs will be in those 2 counties.
The Department of Education is taking 3 steps to speed up college financial aid awards for the upcoming 2024-25 school year. The form, which is usually released on October 1st, wasn't available until early January. Then the DOE made a last-minute change to the financial aid calculation, which meant awards wouldn't go out until March. The agency now says it will speed up awards by selecting fewer applications to audit, suspended new routine program reviews, and giving colleges more flexibility to recertify eligibility. It is early in tax season, but refunds are running lower than last year. The IRS says the average refund so far is just under $1,400, down about $500 from last year's average. Tax professionals say it's too early to read anything into those numbers. The figures from the IRS this year take into account just 5 days of tax season.
New numbers out today show the North Carolina Chinese Lantern Festival was an economic boost in its eighth year. More than 216,000 visitors from all 50 states came to Cary to see the giant lantern displays at Booth Amphitheater. The Greater Raleigh Convention and Visitors Bureau said the festival generated more than $8 million in direct economic impact. That's up almost a million from last year's run. The festival was open daily from mid-November to early January. Storm damage to several displays forced the festival to close about a week early.
And right now, this noon, we take a look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and it is a whopping loss so far. You can see the graph top left there in red, in negative territory, all morning long, and now at noon, down 469 points. Next at noon, new information coming out of the Texas church shooting over the weekend. The health history of the shooter as investigators search for a motive.
Also, anti-Semitism in America today. A new report and a conversation about anti-Jewish hate is next.
Plus, a week after being killed in a crash, Hart County Deputy Chris Johnson will be laid to rest today. At 12:30, the plans for his funeral.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Welcome back. Beautiful blue sky out there, but we have windy conditions, and they'll stick with us throughout the day. Elizabeth Gardner is tracking the wind speeds as well as our temperatures. Elizabeth.
It looks beautiful out there right now, doesn't it? But as we take this live look at Apex, you can see the trees moving around and the wires here. Boy, and those flags there, if you can see those through the trees whipping around there. So we're seeing some blustery conditions, and we'll see that for the rest of the day. But gradually, as the day wears on, those winds will start to drop off. We've definitely seen the strongest winds that we'll likely see for today, but a beautiful look at downtown Apex. Now, the wind is coming out of the northwest, so it is going to bring in some cooler temperatures, and it will feel pretty chilly tomorrow morning with this northwesterly flow. We take a look at our current speeds and gusts. The wind speed, the steady speed is on the left, and the gusts are on the right. So our wind is out of the northwest at 19 in Fayetteville, but gusting to 30. We're at 13 in Clinton, but gusting to 21. We're gusting to 25 in Goldsboro. Our strongest winds right now, gusting to 38 in Rocky Mount, and the steady wind at 21, looking at gusts to 21 in South Hill and 24 in Roxboro. So definitely a breezy afternoon for us. We take a look again at our maximum wind gusts. So far, the strongest wind that we've seen since midnight last night was 46 miles per hour in Fayetteville. Haven't heard of any problems with that. That happened in the 4 o'clock hour this morning. Since then, our winds have mostly been gusting at about 20 to 30 with a few exceptions where we've seen some gusts in Rocky Mount and Goldsboro to say 38, 34 in Southern Pines, 37 in Roxboro. When we get above 35 miles per hour, especially approaching 40 and higher, that's when we tend to see more patchy power outages. We haven't had reports of any trees down. We haven't had any reports of major power outages, so that's definitely good. Let's take a look at the big picture with this system. The low continues to zip away from us, and the faster it goes, the quicker our winds will begin to die down. This low is just zipping past. It's almost moved offshore there of the northeast, and they ended up with a lot of snow, 6 to 12 inches in some places with that nor'easter roaring by. What happens next for us is this high that's down here in Texas moves in, and it's going to bring us a pretty day for tomorrow, but it will help to reinforce that northerly flow. So it'll be a cool day for Valentine's Day, looking at our temperatures in the mid to upper 50s to right around 60. Checking out Futurecast, we still have a little bit of cloud cover showing up in some of our northeastern counties, but it's moving on out. This is a live look at Roxboro. You can see a flag in the distance, and of course the flags on the courthouse lawn blowing in the wind there, but nothing but blue sky looking so pretty. 57 in the triangle. Our dew point has dropped even since we started the newscast down to 31. So we are looking at some nice dry conditions out there. And again, temperatures approaching 60 this afternoon. And then we'll see those temperatures dropping off. It's 50 in Roxboro right now, 51 in South Hill, 60 in Fayetteville and in Clinton. We're looking at about 61 in Raleigh, 59 in Durham, and 64 for the high in Fayetteville this afternoon. Looking ahead to Valentine's Day, we're going to see a beautiful, clear day, but again, it'll be cool if you're taking your Valentine's. sign out for dinner at 6 o'clock, 52, and at 8 o'clock, 47 degrees. We take a look at our forecast, looking at 57 for the high tomorrow, and then highs in the 60s on Thursday and Friday. Our next front comes in over the weekend, and that will bring some cooler temperatures. And right now, it looks like some rain for Saturday. I'll show you when to expect that and how to plan around it coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Police say a woman who opened fire Sunday at Joel Osteen's megachurch in Houston has a documented mental health history. Officers say 36-year-old Janice Moreno was carrying an assault-style rifle with the word Palestine written on it. Anti-Semitic writings were also found in a search of her items. A motive is still not clear, but police say they believe Moreno acted alone. A dispute between her and her ex-husband's family, some of whom are Jewish, may be related to the shooting. Officials have not ruled out terrorism or hate crime-related motives.
And with that information, fighting anti-Semitism is not just a Jewish problem. Experts say it's a problem everyone has to take on. Today, the American Jewish Committee released its landmark State of Anti-Semitism in America 2023 report. It reveals some dramatic insights into how both the Jewish community and the general public view anti-Jewish hatred today. Dov Wilker is the regional director of the AJC. He joins us now live to provide some of the perspective on these new numbers and statistics that have come out. Mr. Wilker, thank you so much for joining us. And I want to run past you a couple of these statistics. 63% of American Jews say they feel less secure living in the U.S. than they did a year ago. It's a big jump from the previous year. It was 41%. The year before that, it was 31%. So almost you look at that root cause of that jump. What do you see behind that?
You know, our survey, which was released earlier today, took place starting October 5th. October 7th was the date that Hamas committed the terrible terrorist attack against the people of Israel, which inflamed anti-Semitism that was already at an unprecedented level. So you take events happening in the Middle East and actions taking place here in the United States, and it sets aflame the issue rise of anti-Semitism that we've continued to experience.
You talk about here in the U.S., almost half of American Jews have changed their behavior in some way at least once in the past year out of fears about anti-Semitism. So what are some of the changes that you're seeing out of folks?
Yeah, so as you can see on my head, you know, I wear this yarmulke on a daily basis, in part as a result of that statistic. You know, people are avoiding Jewish institutions. They are avoiding Jewish community events. They are changing the clothes that they wear. They're not speaking up, asking for time off, perhaps, for their Jewish holidays, all as a result of this issue that we are experiencing. And it's even worse for young people. Those between the ages of 18 and 29, the numbers are higher. And for those on college campuses and even in high schools across the United States, we are seeing young people especially change those behaviors.
Yeah, and that age group plus a total one quarter of American Jews have been the target of anti-Semitism in the last year. That coming out of your report. Tell me about that trend.
Yeah, it's really astonishing. I mean, people are experiencing anti-Semitism in person as well as online. And it's not just here in the United States. These events are taking place all around the world. And so what we're seeing in the United States, though, is a direct impact on Jewish people, on Jewish students. In Metro Atlanta, where I live, there's not a single school district that hasn't had an issue of anti-Semitism in the past 12 months, and everything has been even worse since October 7th, over the past 129 days.
And you brought that date back, Hamas terrorist attacks on that date. Folks here in America say they felt less safe in the U.S. Since that massacre. That brings it a little closer to home than they've normally seen.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is one of the trends about the rise of anti-Semitism, that when Israel is at war, people target Jews. We led into this story by focusing on the shooter at the church in Houston, where she had anti-Semitic content and perhaps was in an argument with her Jewish family members or former family members. Unfortunately, people take out their aggression on Jews because of what's going on there. And it's not just Jews. There are churches that have been vandalized because of the language of supporting Israel. There are swastikas being spray painted across the United States. You know, sadly, if you can see anti-Semitism, the likelihood is that you have witnessed it in the United States in the past 4 months.
Conversation is key to awareness. Dov Wilker, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Mm-hmm.
An exhibition at the Detroit Institute of Arts is shining a spotlight on the contributions of Black filmmakers and performers. Regeneration, Black Cinema, 1898 to 1971, includes the 1898 silent short, Something Good, Negro Kiss, the earliest known on-screen depiction of Black intimacy. Visitors will also see Louis Armstrong's trumpet, Lena Horne's golden dress from Stormy Weather, and Sidney Poitier's Oscar for Lilies of the Field. Regeneration runs through June 23rd. A mountain of trash being removed from the bank of the Cape Fear River. A look at the city's work to keep debris out of the river coming up at 5:30.
Then at 6, the State House Select Committee on Substance Abuse meets about the growing threat of the so-called gas station heroin. What work is being done to protect North Carolinians? Well, still ahead this noon, some people view Valentine's Day as a great time to pop the question. But should you opt for a mined diamond or lab-grown? We'll help you settle the great diamond debate after the break.
Plus, some sweet treats for Valentine's Day will come at prices that leave a sour taste in your mouth. What industry experts blame for the dramatic increase in the price of chocolate.
Valentine's Day is all about celebrating love, and for some that may mean buying your loved one diamonds. Whether you're in the market for an engagement ring or just a sentimental piece of jewelry, it is important to do your research on diamonds.
Should you buy a natural or lab-grown diamond? Jen Sullivan helps settle the diamond debate over lab-grown and natural diamonds.
When it comes to engagements, Valentine's Day is one of the most popular holidays to pop the question. And like your love, a diamond is forever, so you want to make sure you're doing your research. The first decision is whether to buy a natural diamond or a lab-grown stone.
We have learned how to pressurize carbon in a lab.
Rachel Akmakjian with Brightco says lab-grown diamonds are becoming more popular. And if you put one side by side with a natural stone, they look the exact same to the naked eye.
It's just like growing a rose in a greenhouse versus growing it in your garden.
Whether you're buying a natural diamond or lab-grown, you're still going to ask about the four C's. Carat, the weight and size. Color, D, being the best because it's colorless. Clarity, whether the stone is flawless or has some blemishes. And cut, which is how the stone captures light and sparkles. The big difference between natural and lab-grown is the price tag.
There is a pretty significant savings when you go with lab-grown diamonds.
According to Brightco, lab-grown diamonds can cost 50 to 60% less than a natural diamond. That's because lab diamonds only take a few weeks to make. The process to mine a diamond is much harder.
There's a certain challenge to getting that diamond from the mine to your finger to the consumer.
That was Jen Sullivan reporting. Here's another big difference, value. When you buy a natural diamond, you're making a serious investment. A natural diamond will retain its worth, and it's also going to cost you more to insure.
Another C, Valentine's Day chocolate. Could cost you a lot more this year. Cocoa prices have been soaring for months due to severe weather, which has led to crop damage in West Africa. Those prices have been trading at record highs. They're up more than 40% since January. And the higher price of cocoa is filtered through to what you pay for chocolate. One Wall Street analyst said retail prices for chocolate are up more than 15% over the last 2 years and are expected to keep climbing. After the break, a community prepares to say his final farewell to a Harnett County deputy killed in a crash. How they're remembering Deputy Chris Johnson.
And more pregnant women and those who give birth within a year are dying from heart disease. Coming up, the red flags pregnant women should watch for. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
The funeral for Harnett County Deputy Chris Johnson is expected to begin within the next 90 minutes. He died in a crash a week ago today. It takes place in Dunn at Central Baptist Church, and that's where we find WRAL's Chelsea Donovan. Chelsea.
Yeah, Renee, so hundreds of law enforcement officers from all across the state and Virginia have made their way here to Central Baptist Church. You're looking live here at the parking lot where many of them have been pulling in for about the past 2 hours, of course, all to pay their final respects to Johnson, who spent nearly 25 years in law enforcement in both Harnett and Sampson counties. Now, you'll recall 51-year-old Deputy Chris Johnson spent the last 16 months with the Harnett County Sheriff's Office. He was an SRO stationed at Highland Middle. Prior to that, he spent 16 years with the Sampson County Sheriff's Office. He does leave behind a wife and four children, ranging in age from 11 to 25 years old. He was killed a week ago after the Highway Patrol says he crossed the center line on Derrick Road near 210 in Harnett County and hit a tractor trailer. Now, you'll recall also last week, more than 50 law enforcement officers took part in a processional to transport the deputy's body from Dunn to a funeral home in Clinton. And right now, coming back out here live, you can see the caisson unit and the horses there. Just a few doors down here from Central Baptist Church, we understand, of course, that the deputy's body will be transported onto the caisson unit as they make their way into Central Baptist Church. Of course, we'll bring you live coverage starting at 4 and 5 o'clock here of Deputy Chris Johnson's funeral here in Dunn.
So many heavy hearts in Harnett County and beyond. Chelsea Donovan, thank you.
Today's the start of a 2-week trial over which insurance company should get the multi-billion dollar contract for the state health plan. Aetna is due to take over the contract from Blue Cross Blue Shield next year. North Carolina Treasurer Dale Falwell says that could keep costs down for the hundreds of thousands of state workers and their families who get health insurance from the state. Blue Cross, though, is now in court fighting the decision. It says the process used to make the switch was flawed and that Blue Cross could provide the best deal. For more details on what's at stake, go to WRL.com.
Durham police are investigating a shooting that killed a man. It happened early this morning on Barton Street around 1240. Brett Neese was there on the scene in the WRL Breaking News Tracker as police investigated.
That's the Durham Police Department's mobile command center that they bring out to investigations like this, that they know that they're going to be here for a long time. This is video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker of the scene. Police say around 1240 a.m., that's when they got a call that a man had been shot here. An ambulance rushed him to the hospital where he later died from his injuries. Investigators have been out here ever since then. You can see several detectives focusing their attention around this home that they have surrounded by yellow crime scene tape. This neighborhood is off of Fayetteville Street in the southern part of Durham. More can find out from police if they have any suspect information. They do say this is an isolated incident, but they haven't released whether or not they know who they are looking for. I'm going to stay on top of this one and keep you updated. In Durham, Brett Neese, WRL News.
Durham Public School students returned to class after missing 2 days because of call-outs by transportation support staff. Durham Association of Educators says it did not coordinate the protests Friday or yesterday. The school board plans to hold a special meeting Thursday morning with the DAE to try to find a solution to ongoing pay concerns among district employees. Classes have now been disrupted 4 times in recent weeks because of staff calling out. At this hour, Wake County school leaders are conducting interviews to fill a vacancy on the board. Tara Waters vacated the District 4 seat, which represents Southeast Raleigh, when she was appointed to the Wake County Board of Commissioners last month. No word on when a decision will be announced.
Downtown Raleigh's Fayetteville Street could get a makeover. Raleigh City leaders will take a closer look at what that street could look like in the future. WRL's Laura Levine explains the new ideas that will be discussed tonight.
The Downtown Raleigh Alliance will present what they call their 10 big ideas for this area. City Plaza here behind me, they say, could turn into downtown's front porch with flexible play space and North Carolina artwork painted on the street. Check out some of the renderings for the project. The DRA and the City of Raleigh will review the first set of recommendations from a study developed by the consultant team led by Interface Studio. Some of the recommendations include building a strong foundation to ensure downtown is clean, safe, safe and vibrant, develop a family-friendly itinerary and route around Fayetteville Street attractions, add more housing on and around Fayetteville Street, and to connect Fayetteville Street to nearby amenities. Economic leaders believe this is an area that has been disconnected from other downtown districts for far too long.
What can we do to bring this street back? The street is really important to the city and the state. It's in many ways a part of the face of Raleigh, and it hasn't had the same everyday energy. So we feel like it is worthy of attention and being elevated, but also doing better.
And other ideas for this area is to create seasonal pop-ups, like adding an ice skating rink as well as art installation. City Council meets tonight at 7. Laura Levine, WRAL News in Raleigh.
More than 130 people are signed up to speak at tonight's city council meeting Laura just referenced. The majority of them planning to speak out against the war between Israel and Hamas. Protesters have packed into city council meetings for weeks now, calling for a city-backed resolution that calls for a ceasefire. Tonight's meeting is a first since Mayor Marianne Baldwin issued a statement saying council will not make that move. The public comment session begins at 7 at the Raleigh Municipal Building.
Moms-to-be naturally focus on the health of their growing baby, but they also need to prioritize their own health, why heart failure is a real threat, and how to prevent it.
Plus, the Super Bowl showcased super fans. We'll take you inside their mindset and moods depending on a team's performance. Our team is working to bring you exclusive stories for coverage you'll find only on WREL. Go to WREL.com and search only. Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, the Notre Dame Cathedral is getting a big makeover after a devastating fire back in April of 2019. The whole building covered in scaffolding. But today, new signs of hope here. Scaffolding that was covering the top, the spire here, was removed, revealing a brand new spire. If you look closely, you can see a golden rooster reimagined as a phoenix with flaming feathers. They say it's a symbol of resilience and renewal. Much of the cathedral, though, still surrounded by the scaffolding. They also say that a new anti-fire misting system is going to be installed underneath the roof and the recreation of the original cross as well. It is set to reopen December 8th. A lot of people can't wait. That spire is stunning. Deaths from heart disease in women who are pregnant or delivered a baby within 1 year has increased over the past three decades. Alex Ositis shares the red flags for heart failure during pregnancy and how healthcare professionals are working to detect the condition earlier.
What may appear as normal symptoms during pregnancy may overlap with red flags for heart failure.
Things like low extremity swelling, shortness of breath with walking short distances, or shortness of breath when laying in the bed flat on your back at night.
Delays in diagnosis can be deadly, and some who were pregnant have an even greater risk of developing heart failure.
There is a unique form of heart failure that occurs during pregnancy and shortly after having a baby called peripartum cardiomyopathy. Black women have up to a 16-fold of risk of developing this condition compared to white women.
Eating a healthy diet, exercising, getting enough sleep, and not smoking can lower risks. Dr. Aditin Shewa recommends attending regular appointments with your healthcare team and checking blood glucose and blood lipids.
If we are able to test and evaluate a tool that can use something as simple as the ECG to identify a woman who's pregnant who's at high risk of having heart failure, then we can plug her into care early and, you know, we can initiate appropriate therapies.
That was Alex Ositis reporting, and two new studies are looking now at the effects of long-term COVID-19 symptoms on pregnant people and children. One in 10 people who had COVID during pregnancy developed long-term symptoms, extending 6 months or more after they were infected. The most common symptoms are dizziness and fatigue. The other study of children found long COVID symptoms, including breathing problems like a cough, shortness of breath, and fatigue. The Super Bowl is over, but mental health experts say the results may still be weighing on your mind. We'll take a look at the psychology behind fandoms after the break.
Tomorrow is Valentine's Day, but another holiday today is sweeping the nation. Why psychology experts say celebrating Galentine's Day is so important.
While the nation has some time to process the results of Super Bowl 58, some mental health professionals say you may not be alone if you're still upset about the San Francisco 49ers' loss. Christina Coleman takes a look at the psychology behind being a sports fan and why the outcome of a game hits so deep for so many.
Super Bowl 58 may be in the past, but Kansas City Chiefs fans are still feeling the rush from their team's win.
I was very nervous and, like, really sweaty, but, like, I got so excited at the end.
As supporters of the San Francisco 49ers are still trying to come to terms with defeat.
So super sad and depressed. Okay. Yeah, I really wanted it.
But no matter how you feel.
I'm sad, you know. I'm really heartbroken because it means a lot.
Mental health experts say it's not unusual for people's moods to be affected by their favorite team's performance.
People have a very complex kind of sense of their own sense of their identity.
According to Edward Hurt, psychologist at Indiana University, we can form our identity around things like work, religion, and politics, but especially sports.
The big part of our identity is the teams that we root for and our fanship. And so for many of us, it's the hometown team. It's the one we grew up with.
Once we start seeing ourselves represented by a team, Hurt says the connection to the players and whether they win or lose becomes more personal.
Many of us think as fans that also we do contribute, even though we're not out on the fields, our rooting for their team, our support and stuff is integral to their success.
That emotional investment is why Hurt says super fans can feel super bummed when their team doesn't win and vice versa.
By extrapolation, we believe that, well, maybe it is the case that when our team does well, we feel better about ourselves.
That was Christina Coleman reporting. The party still continues on the flip side for the Chiefs. Their Super Bowl victory parade is scheduled for tomorrow in Kansas City.
Hey, ladies, if you're looking for an alternative to celebrating Valentine's Day, all you have to do is call a friend. Today is Galentine's Day. It's a day dedicated to celebrating female friendships. It's a day to set aside the focus on romantic love and turn our attention to platonic relationships. There's no right or wrong way to celebrate.
It could be meeting a friend for a cup of coffee, sharing a story of why you value and appreciate them. It can be a girl's night in with food, crafts, and movies focusing on female friendship. It can be a girl's night out.
The average female friendship is 16 years, which is 10 years longer than the average romantic relationship. Got to make that investment and spend that time. It takes work.
It does. Yeah. It says a lot there, you know. So you have today, Galentine's today, Valentine's tomorrow. A little nicer day tomorrow for sure. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center. I don't know if we'll go outdoor dinner just yet, but close.
Now, there's one more important thing that happens tomorrow. Brian Shaner's birthday. That's one of our favorite days around here. All right. Beautiful in Goldsboro. Just a little bit of cloud cover there. We're looking at Apex with sunny skies. Chapel Hill looking pretty right now. Fayetteville also. I've seen a bunch of people strolling up and down Hay Street there, right in front of our newsroom, enjoying a little bit of sunshine. We still have breezy conditions out there. We're seeing some winds gusting up to about 20 to 30 miles per hour. We're likely to continue to see that for another couple of hours. But notice how our winds really die down. Just 2 hours from now, our winds will likely be steady at 15 and probably gusting about 20 to 25. And we've been fortunate that we haven't seen any major problems with the winds that we've been seeing. Why is it so windy out there? Typically, our winds come from what we call a tight pressure gradient. That means we have two different areas of pressure that are close together. So this is the low pressure system that brought us all that rain and the cloudy skies yesterday. Low pressure systems tend to bring, you know, wet and gray conditions. High pressure is just the opposite. High pressure systems often bring dry and sometimes clear conditions. So this high pressure system is moving our way and the low is moving out of the way. But because they're still close together, we see the wind from the high pressure system, which rotates clockwise, rushing toward the low where the low pressure is. And so we have winds that are coming out of the north, and the closer those two are together, the faster the winds are. Sort of like putting two magnets together, you get them closer and closer and the force is stronger. The farther apart these are, the less wind we see. So we have breezy conditions because these two are not too far from each other, and the low continues to move away. You can watch it zipping on out. It's going to take all the snow out of the northeast here shortly. I mean, I think probably by this evening that snow is over, but boy, they really did get dumped on up there. High pressure builds in to bring us sunshine, but take a look at this snowfall potential. We take it on out to tomorrow afternoon, and over around Philadelphia it was about 3 inches, around New York looking at as much as 12 inches, and then the pink over there is 18 inches, which looks like would be off the coast of Massachusetts. So really heavy snowfall with that system. High pressure builds on in, and we'll see mostly sunny skies for tomorrow as well as Thursday. On Friday, we have a front that comes through, probably going to end up with some cloud cover on Friday, but it stays dry. And then our next best chance for rain comes on Saturday with this front, and you can see some showers here at 6 a.m. We'll likely end up seeing that at least for the first half of the day, and some cooler air coming along behind it. It looks like the mountains may get some snow under that system on Saturday, and I know the ski resorts are not ready to give it up just yet, so probably happy to see a little bit more snow coming their way. 61 for today, 57 for tomorrow for Valentine's Day, and then it's a little bit warmer for us on Thursday and Friday with highs in the 60s. Over the weekend, we're back into the 50s, again looking at that chance for some scattered showers on Saturday. It looks like right now Sunday would be dry, and Monday too.
Elizabeth, thanks. Couples aren't the only ones splitting up this month. Coming up, we'll tell you who Tiger Woods is collaborating with after leaving his longtime partner.
And your winning Powerball numbers, 17, 36, 43, 53, 67. The Powerball is 14, the multiplier 2. We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. In an hour, a funeral service will be happening for Harnett County Deputy Chris Johnson. The service will be at Central Baptist Church in Dunn at 2. Last Thursday, a 40-mile processional of law enforcement vehicles paid tribute to Deputy Johnson. He died in a crash in Harnett County a week ago today.
For the second time in as many days, a man is charged with bringing a gun onto NC State's campus. Police charged 38-year-old Marvin Spruill with misdemeanor bringing a gun on educational property and misdemeanor carrying a concealed gun. The arrest warrant says Spruill had a 9mm gun outside of student housing on Greek Village Drive.
Durham Sheriff's Office released statistics on gun-related incidents in the county. In 2022, deputies seized 243 firearms. Last year, that number jumped to 262 weapons taken off the street. In terms of firearms reported stolen in 2022, that number was 31. Not that big of a change. Last year, 34 firearms were reported stolen. The total number of firearms recovered or found stayed relatively the same. Durham County Sheriff credits buyback programs.
Love will not be in the air for some Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash drivers this Valentine's Day. About 130,000 drivers and delivery workers plan to take part in a strike tomorrow. Driving service companies are being accused of paying unfair wages and taking majority of drivers' commissions. This comes a week after Lyft announced that it would ensure weekly earnings for its drivers.
Tiger Woods is revealing a new look. On Monday, Woods announced he will be partnering with TaylorMade to launch a new apparel brand called Sunday Red. In case you're wondering, red is Tiger's lucky color. Wears it every Sunday during tournaments. The line is set to release May 1st with plans to offer women's and children's styles as well as footwear. This new partnership comes a month after Woods and Nike split after a 27-year partnership.
He does wear a lot of red shirts. The Super Bowl may be over, but there's still time to score a good deal at Buffalo Wild Wings. Thanks to the game going into overtime, Buffalo Wild Wings is giving away 6 free wings on Monday the 26th. You can get boneless or traditional wings from 2 to 5 in the afternoon. No purchase necessary. To redeem this offer, you can dine in or take out and reap the reward. Good news and bad news coming from Rocky Mount's latest crime data. Coming up on WRL News at 4, we'll explain why violent crime is down, but property crime is up. Very windy out there, but plenty of sunshine for your Tuesday. NBC News Daily is next on WRL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Also get breaking news updates anytime with our WRL News app. Galentine's Day today, Valentine's tomorrow. Enjoy that sunshine.
Lots of love to celebrate.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.